6. HMS Destiny, 54, off Hennet Head, Gulf of Matthias. Someone from the planet Humanity had once called Earth might have described it as 4-6 from the old Beaufort scale. Ensign Hector Aplin Armach, the Duke of Darkos, had never heard of the Beaufort scale, but he had been at sea for almost 5 of his 14 years. Well, 13 years and 9 months, since his birthday was next month. And to his experienced eye, the 11-foot waves, with their white foamy crests, and the high humming sound whining through the stays, were the product of what a seaman would have called either a strong breeze or a stiff topsail breeze, which still had another 4 or 5 miles per hour to go before it officially became a near gale. Hector suspected that most landsmen would have found the ship's motion, the way she leaned to her canvas, and the flying spray bursting up around her cutwater as she drove hard, rising in showers of diamonds when the early morning sun caught it, alarming. In fact, there'd been a time, though he couldn't really remember it now, when he would have found it distinctly so. Now, though, he found it exhilarating, especially with his stomach so freshly wrapped around a breakfast of toasted biscuit and well-sweetened raisin-laced oatmeal, despite the sharp, icy teeth of the wind. And he clapped his gloved hands together and beamed hugely as he looked up at the reefed topsails and topgallants, then turned to the senior of the two men on the wheel. "How does she feel, Chief?" he asked.
"Well enough, sir."
Chief Petty Officer Franklin Wigan was closing in on 3 times the youthful ensign's age, and Hector was about as junior as an officer got. Once upon a time, all of 3 or 4 months ago, he would have been referred to not as an ensign, but as a past midshipman, a midshipman who had successfully sat his lieutenant's examination but not yet received his commission, since he legally couldn't be granted a full lieutenant's commission until he was at least 16 years old. The new ensign rank had been introduced as part of the Navy's enormous expansion, and the fleet was still in the process of getting used to it. But if Wigan felt any exasperation at being interrogated by an officer of Ensign Aplin Armach's tender years and lack of seniority, he showed no sign of it.
"She's taken a bit more weather elm nor I'd like," Wigan added, "but not so much as all that."
Hector nodded. Any sailing vessel carried at least a little weather helm when she came close to the wind, and at the moment Destiny was close reaching to the east-northeast on the starboard tack under single reefed topgallants and topsails, with the wind out of the south-southeast, just over 3 points abaft the beam. That was very close to close-hauled for HMS Destiny. Hector doubted they could have edged more than another point or so closer to the wind, and damned few other square riggers could have come this close. Of course, it made for a lively ride, but that was part of the exhilaration, and even with her reduced sail, the ship had to be making good close to 7 knots. Well, over 6.5 at least. That was an excellent turn of speed, although she could probably have carried more sail and shown a little more speed if Captain Yearley had decided to shake out the topgallant reefs and press her. "Not that he's likely to do anything of the sort without a damn good reason," Hector thought with a small inner smile. "It would never suit his fussy worrier's image." The truth was that Hector recognized just how fortunate he'd been to be assigned to Yearley's command in the first place, and not just because of the captain's abilities as a mentor in tactics and seamanship either. Hector doubted there could have been a better teacher in the entire fleet for either of those skills. Yet, as appreciative as he was of that training, he was even more grateful for the time Yearley had taken to teach one Hector Aplin Armach certain other equally essential skills. Despite his present exalted patent of nobility, Hector Aplin had most definitely not been born to the aristocracy. His was a family of sturdy, hard-working merchant seamen, and young Hector's appointment as a midshipman in the Royal Carisian Navy had represented a significant step upward for the Aplins. He'd hoped to make a decent career for himself. The Carisian Navy was really the only one on Safehold where a commoner had an excellent chance of rising to even the highest ranks, and more than one man as commonly born as he had ended up with a knighthood and an admiral's streamer when all was said. He could think of at least a half dozen who'd earned baronetcies, and at least one who'd died an earl for that matter. But he'd never dreamed for a moment that he might end up a duke. Then again, his amusement dimmed. He'd never expected to have his king die in his arms, or to live with the knowledge that his monarch had received his fatal wound, fighting to protect him. Never anticipated that he would be one of only 36 survivors of the entire crew of King Harald VII's flagship. In fact, three of those survivors had eventually died of their wounds in the end, after all, despite all the healers could do, and of the 33 who hadn't, 11 had been so badly wounded they would never go to sea again. The odds that he might simply have survived that level of carnage, far less remained on active duty after it, would have struck him as tiny enough on their own. The possibility of his being adopted into the House of Armagh, of becoming legally the son of Emperor Caleb himself, would never have occurred to him in the wildest delirium. And if anyone had ever suggested the possibility to him, he would have run screaming in terror from the prospect. What could he, the son of a merchant galleon's first officer, possibly have in common with the royal family? The very idea was absurd,